recording of the local news, brought to you by the Equipment Services for the Blind and the Worcester News. Our service is free, but if you'd like to make a donation towards the running costs, or if you have any comments about our service, please leave a note in your wallet or ring us here at Colin Chance House. There isn't always anyone in the office, but leave a message and someone will return your call as soon as they can. I'm Sally, and Rhiann, Ian and Margaret are reading with me, and Michael is our sound engineer. We'd also like to thank Carol's team for the admin and copying that goes on after the recording. We will be featuring the news from Friday, April the 26th, until Thursday, the 2nd of May. We're going to include the headline stories and a variety of news items from the local area, some what's on. We're opening the birthday book and we have a thought for the day. And we finish with some sporting items. The obituaries will then follow the closing music for those who wish to hear them. And the useful telephone numbers will in future be at the very end of the recording. So if you want to refer to them, you know they will always be at the end of the recording. So I'll hand you over to Ian for the thought for the week.
Yes, the thought for the week does not this week come from the Bible, but provocatively comes from C.S. Lewis. I didn't go to religion to make me happy. I always knew a bottle of port would do that. If you want religion to make you feel really comfortable, I certainly don't recommend Christianity.
And here we have the birthday list for this week, beginning with Marilyn Kendall, her birthday on the 6th. On the 7th, Evelyn Stevens. On the 8th, Barbara Moss, who, believe it or not, is 100. Congratulations to her. On the 9th, Jane Staples. The 10th, Jill Price and Sheila Davis. So congratulations to Barbara Moss in particular, who's made it to 100.
Happy birthday, everybody.
Happy birthday.
Good birthday to you. And now for a roundup of what's on locally over the coming weeks. Worcester's very own Granny's Attic will be back on home ground for their 15th anniversary tour. The trio will perform at Worcester's Huntington Hall on Friday, May the 17th. Cohen Braithwaite Kilcoyne, George Sansom and Lewis Wood have honed their skills touring the UK and Europe since 2009. They are much loved by audience up and down the country, with bookings everywhere from Cambridge Folk Festival to Cecil Sharp House in London. The trio have been heralded for their lively performances and skilled delivery of traditional material, playing with verve, energy and their own inimitable style. Tickets costing £17.50 are available by calling 01905 611 427 or online at worcestertheatres.co.uk. The following day, on Saturday the 18th of May at 7:30 p.m. at the Swan Theatre, Men United in Song in aid of Prostate Cancer UK. Tickets are £15. This concert is the culmination of a journey taken by 40 men who have learned to sing as a choir in an effort to raise money and awareness for Prostate Cancer UK. The Worcester Male Voice Choir, who have supported the choir during their coaching, will also perform as part of the show. This will be a great celebration of their achievement, so come along and give these brave men your support. And that's on Saturday the 18th of May at the Swan Theatre. Tea and Support is a coffee morning support group for people living with dementia and their carers, family and friends. The group meets every Tuesday at the Lippard Hub in Warndon Villages in Anchorage Green, Warndon, Worcester, from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. A spokesperson said, "Come along for a cuppa and to chat and share experiences in a friendly, relaxed environment. We would love to see you." We run a range of activities each week. Hot drinks and cake are always available, and those who do not wish to join the activities are welcome to enjoy a chat and a cuppa instead. Carers must be in attendance throughout the session. And finally, tickets are now available for the Three Choirs Festival in and around Worcester. The event, running from July the 27th to August the 3rd, showcases classic and modern compositions influenced by the natural world, performed by internationally recognised musicians. Highlighted performances include Elgar's The Kingdom, Holst's The Cloud Messenger, and Bob Chilcott's The Angry Planet. Performers include the Three Choirs Festival Chorus, Festival Voices, the BB Singers, and resident orchestra, the Philharmonia. In the interlude, between performances, attendees can enjoy a welcoming, relaxing atmosphere in the festival village, complete with food stalls and a community bandstand. In addition to the main concerts, the festival offers a family programme. The Thorn Trio will provide an entertaining musical experience for children, while the Armonico Consort hosts a family sing-along. Discounts are offered for multiple family event bookings, with half-price tickets for families on Universal Credit. For those interested in participating, the festival offers volunteering and performing opportunities. Singers can register for the host choir or the youth choir, while singers and string players are invited to participate in the community showcase concert, Nature Sings. To view all of the opportunities and the complete programme, visit threechoirs.org.
Thank you. And now for the headline stories, starting on Friday, April the 26th. I thought World War had begun. A shocked pub landlord thought World War III had started when a van crashed into his pub, causing the whole building to shudder. A grey Ford Transit crashed into the Bridge Inn in Lowesmore Terrace in Worcester, while Renault Evoco crashed into a wall opposite just before 10:15 a.m. Despite the impact, the pub is undamaged and open for business, and there were no casualties in the pub itself, as the landlord reveals what it was like to be inside when the incident happened. Lloyd Cox, landlord of the Bridge, said, "The whole pub shuddered. I thought World War III had started and I'd missed the announcement, or that the bulldozing had begun on the new Lowesmore Wharf developments. On going outside, I found a grey van parked with the corner of my building stuck in the middle of its bonnet, like a bike on a bike rack. The male occupant was fine, although inevitably claiming severe neck pain. There was another large white van on the opposite side of the road that had gone through a wall and railings. At no point in the melee did I see the driver or whether he was okay. Although neighbours told me how unlucky he was because it was his first day in his new job renovating windows in their apartment block. No one at the pub was injured and the wall looks untouched. The emergency services were professional and although the road was temporarily blocked, they were able to get it all cleared and the road open again pretty quickly. Trading at the pub has been unaffected and we are open for business as usual." A spokesman for West Midlands Ambulance Service said, "We were called to reports on an RTC on Lowesmore Terrace at 10:14 a.m. One ambulance attended. On arrival, we discovered two vans, one that had crashed into a building and one that had crashed into a wall. We assessed and treated one patient for minor injuries, a man who was discharged at the scene." A spokesman for West Mercia Police said, "We received a call around 10:10 a.m. this morning with a report of a collision of Lowesmore Terrace in Worcester. Officers attended the incident to find one van had collided with the Bridge pub and another van had collided with a property opposite. Thankfully, at present, no injuries to report and officers will remain on scene until recovery of the vehicles are complete."
Now moving on to the lead story for Saturday and Sunday, April the 27th and 8th. Man found dead. A body has been found outside the city's job centre. A man was found dead outside Worcester Job Centre in Vine Street on Farrier Street yesterday morning. The job centre temporarily closed as the car park was cordoned off by police. Two police vans, a crime scene investigation van, a police car and an ambulance were on the scene until 9:15 a.m. A spokesperson for West Mercia Police said, "We received a call around 6:55 a.m. this morning," that's Friday the 26th of April, after reports that a body was found. Officers attended to find a man sadly deceased. His death is not being treated as suspicious. A spokesperson for West Midlands Ambulance Service said, "We were called by police colleagues to a medical emergency on Farrier Street in Worcester at 7 a.m. An ambulance was sent to the scene where, on arrival, crews found a man. Sadly, it quickly became clear he could not be saved and was confirmed dead at the scene." Lisa Amphlett posted on the Worcester News Facebook page, "Thoughts and prayers to the man's family, RIP. All appointments took place at the job centre as usual. The Department of Work and Pensions was unavailable for comment."
And this is the headline on the Monday, April the 29th. "Shoplifting at a record high. Vigilant shopkeepers in the city have said they are surprised that shoplifting..."
Okay.
Now, can we start again?
Yeah.
I have a job to read it. What's the matter with me? Normal glasses, but I can hardly read it.
Okay. You're right. Do you want to have a read
through for me? I'm all right, but it's just that I couldn't see it.
Oh. Are you all right, Michael, if we just start again?
Absolutely,
no
worries.
Yeah, no, can you just start again? Sorry about this, but... What the devil's the matter? Can't understand that.
Do you want me to take over and read that one, and you come around here and do this one? We'll give you a minute to.
I can't think that that would be any different.
No,
actually.
Okay.
Let's have a go. It's the light. Sorry, this is the headline for Monday, April the 29th. "Shoplifting at a record high. Vigilant shopkeepers in the city have said that they are not surprised that shoplifting figures are on the rise. There was a record number of shoplifting offences recorded by West Mercia Police last year. New figures from the Office for National Standards..." This is hopeless. I can't read this.
Don't worry. Should I do it?
Yeah, but I don't know whether it's...
Has the light been going into your eye? Have you...
A light or something.
Because sometimes...
I've never had this before, but I can't... I'm having a job to read it. See it.
Yes.
That's the problem.
Yeah. I think sometimes if you've had the light... If the light has been shining into your eye... That can sometimes cause a sort of distortion. I had it earlier in the week when I was reading at home and thought, what's going on? I had
I'm just finding that very difficult to read.
It's quite a long article, Margaret. We'll let you off. Sorry, Michael, are you ready to take three?
We'll be in about 5 seconds.
God, crikey.
Now moving on to the headline story for Monday, April the 29th. "Shoplifting at a record high. Vigilant shopkeepers in the city have said they are not surprised that shoplifting figures were on the rise. There was a record number of shoplifting offences recorded by West Mercia Police last year. New figures for the Office for National Statistics figures show. There were 9,898 shoplifting offences recorded across the region in 2023. It was up 39% from 7,113 offences in 2022 and the highest since comparable records in 2003. In the last 12 months, from March 2023 to February 2024, there were 571 incidents of shoplifting recorded in the city centre Cathedral area, according to police, UK statistics. Shop owners in the city centre say they are having to take extra precautions to help prevent it. Naomi Hall of Fuel Clothing at Reindeer Court said they have recently installed more CCTV in the store. She said it's not surprising that police are dealing with more incidents of shoplifting. She believes it may also be linked to the ongoing cost of living crisis. Ms. Hall said, "It's sad to see. It's not good that they are stealing, but there must be a reason why they're doing it." Esther Schutt has run her little card shop, the Little Card Shop, in the Crown Gate shopping centre for 26 years. She said, "I have on my phone a list of thieves. And if they come back here, I say, I'm sorry you're no longer welcome in my shop. The best thing we ever did was to invest in CCTV. I have had men fill their pockets. We work very hard for the little we make, so we have to watch out." Nikki Clark, the manager at Toy Town, said, "It has gotten worse without a doubt. It's people you wouldn't normally think shoplifting. We are watching everyone now because you just can't tell anymore. We used to spot them a mile off." She said the threat of shoplifting has increased workloads, with staff watching customers on the till, shop floor, and occasionally on the door. Antonia Henson, who runs the Monkey Business Retro Shop, said the team are very conscious of the rise in shoplifting. She said it's very rare that people get away with it because of staff keeping vigilant. Rachel Evans, who runs New England Country Store, added, "It's very concerning for everybody. It has a bigger impact on us smaller retailers." Joel Brown, a loss prevention advisor for a high street store, added, "Shoplifting is on the rise on Worcester High Street. I've dealt with quite a lot of incidents with repeat offenders." Worcester BID created a Safer Streets Officer role last year to support businesses. BID Chief Executive Sam McCarthy said they needed someone that would help them feel safe, somebody to call and speak to. "Most of the time it's about being vigilant and it's about deterring. The Worcester BID's key focus is community safety." A West Mercia police spokesperson said, "There's no doubt that shoplifting is an ongoing issue across areas we serve, as well as nationally. We recognise the impact this type of theft has on communities, and our safer neighbourhood teams continue to work in partnership with local retailers, councils and business groups to help tackle and prevent it." Across England and Wales, shoplifting crimes jumped 37%, with 430,104 recorded in the year to December 2023.
On Tuesday, April the 30th, the headline read, "Derelict Co-op is a magnet for crime." A derelict eyesore supermarket is becoming a magnet for antisocial behaviour, including drug taking and criminal damage, says a resident who fears a potential arson attack. "An ugly scar on St John's" is how one councillor describes the former Co-op store in St John's, which has stood empty after closing in April 2022. Residents fear it is attracting rising levels of crime and antisocial behaviour. One resident, who did not wish to be identified, said, "Since it's been closed, it's become a magnet for antisocial behaviour. Rough sleepers, drug-taking, street drinkers, kids smashing up glass, fly-tipping, and all sorts of general things that make you feel unsafe, and then finally, last night, it was broken into." He said police attended and were very professional, but that locks had now been cut on the back gate to the car park, and security fencing had been moved to allow access. He added, "It is causing untold anxiety to residents as the smaller crimes are becoming more frequent, and with the break-in over the last week or so, I am worried about arson." He has been in contact with the security firm responsible, who said they would send someone around. However, he said, the company that owns the site should be responsible for it being secure, and not a magnet for crime in a small community. "And it is getting worse and worse the more the location is left abandoned and left to ruin." The Worcester News approached the Co-op for a comment, but they had not replied at the time of going to press. Councillor Richard Udall said, "I am very concerned about the condition of the former Co-op store. I feel it was closed prematurely before the owners had approval for any alternative use. This has left the site derelict, scruffy, untidy and as a possible risk to health." He has been in contact with Co-op in Manchester, which is sending in a team to inspect the site. "I believe they have a duty to clean up the mess, remove the graffiti and ensure the entire site is secure against unlawful entry," said Councillor Udall. "They need to take immediate action to improve the condition of the site. Currently, it's an ugly scar on the face of St John's. We can't afford to let this go the same way as the former nightclub site at Zigzags." Sergeant Wayne Cashin of St John's and Bedwardine Safer Neighbourhood Policing Team said the area is patrolled regularly. "We have received a report of criminal damage at this location in the past week, which was dealt with by patrol officers, but this is the first complaint we are aware of regarding drug taking and antisocial behaviour. We would be happy to work with the landlord of this disused site to address outstanding issues. People can report concerns to stjohnsbedwardine.snt at westmercia.police.uk.
And Wednesday, May the 1st, driver dies in horror crash. Four others left badly injured. A man has been arrested following the death of another man in a car crash in Worcester. The crash resulted in the death of a man in his 50s and four other men were taken to Worcester Royal Hospital with serious injuries. One of the men who was taken to hospital has since been arrested. The 24-year-old has been arrested on suspicion of causing death by dangerous driving and being unfit through drink or drugs. The crash happened in Pershaw Lane, Warnden, on Monday, April the 29th at about 10:25 p.m. involving a yellow Volkswagen Golf and a silver Honda Civic. Four ambulances attended the incident. Three men in their 20s and a man in his 30s were also among those taken to hospital. One of the cars ended up on its side and police closed the road for several hours after the crash. Police are now appealing for witnesses and asked anyone who may have witnessed the collision or has dash cam footage to contact the Serious Collision Investigation Unit South by emailing sciusouth@westmercia.policeuk, quoting incident number 00511/I/29042024. Alternatively, information can be shared anonymously with the independent charity Crime Stoppers on 0800 555 111 or by visiting www.crimestoppers.org.uk. A West Midlands Ambulance Service spokesman said, "On arrival, crews found two cars had been involved in a collision and one of the cars had ended up on its side. The driver from the car on its side, a man, was in critical condition. After being removed from the vehicle, ambulance staff immediately began administering advanced life support. Sadly, despite everyone's best efforts, he could not be saved and was confirmed dead at the scene. The four patients from the other car, all men, were already out of the vehicle when crews arrived. They were all treated for potentially serious injuries and conveyed to Worcester Royal Hospital for further treatment. Along with four ambulances, a paramedic officer, a specialist officer, the air ambulance critical care car, a fire officer, two fire engines and police were all at the scene. A Hereford and Worcester Fire and Rescue spokesperson said, "We received a call at 10:31 to a road traffic collision involving two cars. Two fire engines and a fire officer from Worcester Fire Station attended the scene. One person was physically trapped before being handed over to the ambulance service. Fire and rescue crews left the scene shortly after midnight."
The headline story for Thursday, May the 2nd, reads, "Firearms and drugs seized in city raids." Firearms, drugs and money were discovered at two city homes raided by police, resulting in two arrests. The warrants were carried out at homes in Astwood Road and Tunnel Hill yesterday morning after community concerns and intelligence around drug supply in the area. Specialist tactical advisers were also at the scene in chemical suits, protective goggles and face masks to ensure the scene was safe in case of any potential drugs labs at the addresses, of which none were found. A 32-year-old man was arrested at the Tunnel Hill home on suspicion of imported a controlled drug. A small quantity of drugs, mobile phones and imitation firearms were recovered from the property. A second man, 42, was arrested at the Astwood Road home on suspicion of possession with intent to supply Class B drug cannabis. A large quantity of cannabis was found and a large quantity of cash. Both men will remain in custody while inquiries into the incident continue. Police are currently at the scene of both addresses as investigations are carried out. Detective Sergeant Marie Green of Worcester Reactive CID said, "Two men have been arrested at the scene of the two drugs warrants we executed this morning in response to community concerns and intelligence around drug supplies in the area. Quantities of drugs, money and firearms were recovered from the addresses and the arrested men remain in custody while inquiries are continuing. We would like to reassure the local community that although it can look alarming to see officers arrive in numbers and wearing protective clothing, these were isolated cases and there is no wider risk to the public. They will see an increased police presence in the area over the coming days and we would like to thank them for their patience and support during these investigations."
And now for the general news items for this week. A chance to learn about peregrines. People can join in with a series of peregrine drop-in sessions for 2024. Worcester Cathedral is running the sessions in partnership with a group called Peregrine Falcons in Worcester. Birdwatchers will be able to meet the experts, learn all about the family nesting on the cathedral and see the comings and goings from the nest. Last week, all four peregrine falcon chicks hatched. The pop-up sessions will be taking place at the next viewing area with the monitoring team members on hand with binoculars and scopes. The next two sessions take place on Thursday, May the 2nd from 5:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. and Monday, May the 6th from 1:30 until 3 p.m. There are sessions throughout May and June which are advertised on the Peregrine Falcons in Worcester Facebook page.
Last Sunday, it was the Scouts' annual St George's Day Parade, writes the Mayor of Worcester, Councillor Louis Stevens. "I'm always learning the sun shone on the hundreds of squirrels, beavers, cubs, scouts and explorers as they marched past the Vice Lord Lieutenant Gilbert Greenall's taking the salute. There was a warm, positive atmosphere with the high street packed with proud parents and grandparents. What I had not expected was the Worcester Cathedral service just prior to the parade. I say this in a good way. I've never been to a cathedral service quite like this. Cubs and Scouts have changed a great deal over the years. The service included lots of singing, audience participation of It's Behind You, and lots of laughs as they put on a short play retelling the story of how St George overcame the dragon in the most engaging way imaginable. At times we were in stitches on the front row. All of the organisers should have much deserved thanks. They are all volunteers and do so much in our communities, creating a fantastic social environment for our young people. The Scouts in Worcester meet in 10 groups within our city, with over 1,100 young people and 350 volunteers. Unfortunately, not every area is fully covered. In the north of the city, 12th Worcester would love to open a scout troop so the cubs can move up when they reach 10 years old. And in WR2, they have a huge waiting list for the squirrels age group of 4 to 6 years old. They need volunteers to help open these sections. Society changes, and with it so do organisations like the Scouts. They are an inclusive organisation and welcome diversity in volunteering. Whether you work with young people directly, a trustee, or an admin superstar, they are ready to welcome you.
A city school is to start making redundancies to overcome financial pressures. New College Worcester, NCW, based in Whittington Road, said it will reduce costs by making a small number of compulsory redundancies within its care staff team. NCW said it underwent a comprehensive review of all aspects of the school to maintain high quality teaching while addressing any imbalance between income and expenditure. As a result, it said it has introduced compulsory redundancies while also introducing opportunities for people to move roles. There have also been new roles introduced and contracts. Rachel Perks, principal at New College Worcester, said the team is committed to supporting all its staff members during this difficult period. She added, NCW is the only national provider of residential secondary education for academically able, vision impaired students in the UK, with a proud history stretching back 150 years. As with all organisations, we need to ensure we are adapting to an ever-changing economic and political landscape, and we are financially able to maintain our large and historic estate. In order to ensure we can continue to provide the best support for our students, we need to introduce new roles, shifts and contracts that more effectively align with what our students and parents need. Unfortunately, this is likely to result in a small number of compulsory redundancies within our care staff team. We are working hard to minimise this through making cost savings and efficiencies where possible and providing multiple opportunities for people to move into new roles. We are committed to supporting all our staff members through this difficult period. By taking these steps, we can overcome these financial pressures to secure our unique offering for generations to come and create a clear path to a new era for the school and young people with vision impairments. NCW said it is liaising closely with the Department for Education and the Education and Skills Funding Agency, which support their actions.
Hard-working staff working in hospitals across Worcester deserve to earn more than the minimum wage, says a current bank healthcare assistant. Sue Walton from Worcester works in that role at Worcestershire Royal Hospital and the community hospitals in Worcestershire. She has raised her concerns that hospital staff in the region are being left demoralised by the fact that they earn only 1p more than the current minimum wage. The current rate is £11.45 per working hour. Mrs. Walton believes that people working in these roles should be rewarded with better pay, highlighting their tireless work through the COVID pandemic. Minimum wage has gone up, which means our basic wage is only a penny over that rate, she said. I'm a bank healthcare assistant at Worcestershire Royal Hospital and community hospitals in Worcestershire, and we are earning less than people stacking shelves in supermarkets. This has never happened before. It's unprecedented. We are looking after people's lives. People are quite shocked at what we are earning. We received no bonus after working in the pandemic. It's a kick in the teeth. Staff still can't quite believe the situation. We are all in the same boat. Mrs. Walton said many of the staff were integral to both the nursing team and medical team. She made a point of how important a healthcare assistant's role was, as they spend a lot of time with patients and can alert nursing staff when their health is deteriorating. A joint statement from Worcestershire Acute Hospitals NHS Trust and Herefordshire and Worcestershire Health and Care NHS Trust said, "We recognise the essential role that healthcare assistants play, and they are a valued part of our workforce. While NHS pay is set nationally, as trusts we are currently carrying out a piece of work alongside our trade union representative colleagues, looking at various options, including a banding review for those on Band 2 pay scale. Once final proposals have been put together, a paper will go to our boards later in the year for approval. The Department of Health and Social Care has recommended the NHS pay review body consider making changes that are planned to be announced in due course. A spokesperson said, "Healthcare assistants are key members of the NHS workforce, and employers must ensure they are supported to deliver care safe to patients as part of a wider team of doctors and nurses. We have asked the independent NHS pay review body to consider and make recommendations on the pay of their workforces. These will be announced in due course. These independent bodies are made up of industry experts. Their recommendations consider several factors, like the cost of living and value for the taxpayer."
The best young poet in Worcestershire has been announced by the County Council. Iona Campbell, who is 12 years old, has won the Young Poet Laureate Award for 2024. Worcestershire County Council ran the event with Seven Arts and Worcestershire Libraries to celebrate the talented voices of young local poets. Young poets from across the county were invited to submit their written poetry for the opportunity to perform at the Young Poet Laureate Final. Amelie Simon, the Young Poet Laureate for 2023, said, I never could have dreamt of getting up on a stage to read my own poetry, but I've discovered that the stage offers me a place to be authentically me and to have a great time doing it. I've met some of the most incredible people and found much comfort in the art in this art form.
An unsafe car park at the back of a historic Worcester building is to be demolished. The raised car park behind the listed engine works in Shrub Hill was found to be structurally unsound following an ironwork survey last year. Worcester City Council has now given Worcestershire County Council planning permission to knock it down. A boundary wall between the engine works site and Tolladine Road will also be demolished. City planners said the car park apron structure was built between 1905 and 1920 over the top of two railway sidings connecting Shrub Hill Industrial Estate with the City Gas Works to the north of Tolladine Road and the Vulcan Iron Works southwest of Shrub Hill Road. They said demolishing the structure will improve vistas to and from the engine works building, enhance the setting of this 19th century Grade 2 listed building, and ensure preservation of the associated retaining wall and any elements of the railway sidings surviving below the apron. In addition, say planners, the demolition would enable use of the subway beneath Shrub Hill Road, which emerges beneath the apron, to be incorporated into the site's broader future fully. Worcester Civic Society said it does not dispute the need to knock down the car park, but questioned whether the southernmost boundary wall must be demolished at the same time. The County Council says it does not yet know what to do with a 425-metre plot of land. Once used as a car park, the area has been cordoned off for years because it is unsafe. Worcester Engine Works is one of the several listed buildings included in ambitious plans for the regeneration of the Shrub Hill Quarter, a joint project between the City and County Councils. A draft planning document setting out a framework for the development of the area went out for public consultation earlier this year.
Worcestershire runners put their best foot forward to raise thousands of pounds for charity by tackling the famous London Marathon. They pounded the streets of the capital over the legendary 26.2-mile route. Among them were Worcester's Bertie Ballinger, who took on the challenge in support of Sense, The charity supports people who are deafblind or have a hearing or vision impairment and other disability, and it campaigns for the rights of the disabled people in the UK. Bertie said, I chose this charity because my dad had previously raised money for them when he cycled from Vietnam to Cambodia, so I already had a connection to the charity. I've so far raised over £1,000 through various fundraising events, such as coffee mornings and history talks at the Hive. I ran the marathon in 3 hours, 40 minutes, 33 seconds, a time I am very proud to achieve. This was my first marathon, and London had such an amazing and unique atmosphere. I had never experienced such an event in my life. I have until May the 21st to raise as much money as possible and will be looking to put on more events in the coming weeks. While I've always been a runner, it wasn't until I joined the Black Pair Joggers I really began to see improvements. They are a brilliant Worcester-based running club and have helped me to improve so much through training and encouragement. Worcester's Renee Hewlett completed the London Marathon in memory of her mother, Alison, who died in 2022, aged 50. She's raising money for Mind Charity, which offers information and advice to people with mental health problems and lobbies government and local authorities on their behalf. Renee, who originally hails from Ross-on-Wye, has had more than £2,800 donated. She said, the hundreds of miles in training and the 26.2 miles on the day will be for my mum and every other person who struggles daily with their own battles in the hope that less and less families go through what we have, indescribable sadness and grief, but also guilt, anger, confusion and everything else we've left since that day. I'd love to raise as much as I can in her memory and her name for a charity I know firsthand benefits so many people. I've used Mind a few times over the last few months, and the advice and support I've received I'll be forever grateful for. Everyone knows I'm not a runner or an exerciser, but I promised her in 2019 that I would do London again for her when the time came, never expecting so soon. This will be my second and last London Marathon, and I can't think of a better charity or person to run for. Renee, who clocked 5 hours, 34 minutes, 23 seconds, said running the marathon was a surreal day. Pershaw's Claire Elston supported the RSPCA Worcester and Mid-Worcestershire branch with her successful London Marathon effort of 5 hours, 35 minutes, 37 seconds. She was running in memory of her cat, Monkey. At Claire's request, RSPCA staff had been drawing up lists of items that the animals needed. Claire, who runs with Pershaw Plum Plodders, is still raising money. She has raised more than £1,500 so far. The RSPCA branch said, such an incredible achievement, we're sure you'll agree, and for, if we do say worthy, do see so ourselves, a very worthy cause. We hope that Claire is putting her feet up and enjoying a well-deserved rest. Meanwhile, Evesham postman Duncan Day, 56, completed the distance in 5 hours, 15 minutes, 51 seconds. He has raised more than £2,100 for Health Poverty Action. Worcester's Dr. Lara James clocked 6 hours, 3 minutes, 55 seconds. She's raised more than £1,100 so far for the audiology department at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital, Birmingham. Another Worcester runner, Steve Winfield, did 3 hours 56 minutes 58 seconds and has so far raised around £2,900 for the NSPCC. Worcester Paul Causer, who finished the run in 5 hours 56 minutes 18 seconds, it's also supporting the NSPCC with more than £2,200 raised. Jane Gordigen ran 5 hours 16 minutes 20 seconds in support of Heart UK and has raised so far more than £2,600. A fantastic achievement by all of those runners.
Worcester is set to host an event celebrating European tradition and culture. Next month, Worcester City Council is organising Eurofest, a free community event to be held at the Guildhall on Saturday, May the 11th, between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. Festival goers can indulge in a variety of activities, ranging from performances by Bulgarian, Irish and Breton dance troupes to a performance by the Seven Voices Choir, who will be performing in French, German, Icelandic, Italian and Ukrainian. Food will also feature in the celebration, with a pop-up cafe by Our Taste of Portugal in the Hop Market, hosting traditional Portuguese food tasting, while dishes from Lismore-based Romanian restaurant Bistro by Polonico will offer a glimpse into Romanian culture. Fast food restaurant Balkan Breakfast Cafe and St George's Catholic Church have partnered up to be part of the organising team. In addition to the food and music, Worcester Language Exchange will give attendees the chance to practice different languages, while Worcestershire Polish Association will showcase popular Polish cakes, along with heritage displays and traditional activities like floral head decorations and language games, while the Word Association will be collecting stories and poems for a future book. There will also be displays from Little Italy and a displaced persons camp from the City Council's archives. Warwick Neal, the manager of the City Council's Community Services team, said, "Experiencing different traditions and cultures is an enriching experience, ensuring that we can all appreciate that society is made up of many different groups. We look forward to an interesting and diverse day." Following the success of last year's inaugural Black History Month, the celebration of European communities has been developed as a part of the Council's Equality, Diversity and Inclusion Strategy.
Worcestershire people are being urged to get active this May for National Walking Month. The national initiative aims to encourage people to enjoy the health and well-being benefits of walking or wheeling. Residents in Worcestershire and beyond can benefit from a variety of natural beauty spots, walking groups and walking sports groups to guide them on the fitness journeys. According to the Sports England Active Lives Survey for 2021-2022, adults in the area are pretty active, with 45% of Worcestershire adults walking regularly or fairly regularly. This is significantly higher than the national average of 43%. A combined effort between Active Herefordshire and Worcestershire, Worcestershire County Council, Herefordshire Council and Age UK Herefordshire and Worcestershire is promoting the benefits of walking through a cooperative campaign. Dr. Lisa McNally, Director of Public Health for the Worcestershire County Council, and Matt Pearce, Director of Public Health for Herefordshire Council, said, "Getting out and about for a walk in the fresh air is good for our minds, our bodies and the environment. Taking regular walks can reduce stress and blood pressure, improve sleep, boost your mood and help you manage your weight. It's also fun, particularly when you walk with friends and colleagues." They added, "We would love to see pictures of how people enjoy walking, whether that's during the week walking the dog or taking children to school or a special walk at the weekend for fun. We live in a beautiful area which many people travel to for their holidays. It's now a great time of year to enjoy the natural beauty nearby. So please use the hashtag #WalkThisMay to share your walk." Stephen Brewster, Chief Executive Officer at Active Herefordshire and Worcestershire, said, "We are very happy to be working alongside Age UK Herefordshire and Worcestershire, Herefordshire Council and Worcestershire County Council on this brilliant national campaign. As an active partnership, we are dedicated to improving the lives of people across the two counties through physical activity and sport. And walking is a fantastic way to introduce physical activity into a lifestyle. Throughout May, various social media platforms and the participating organisations' websites will provide information about walking routes, the benefits of walking on mental health, and how walking can be integrated into daily commutes."
Vulnerable children will soon be able to take advantage of a new learning environment in a disused bungalow at City High School if it can get help from the community. Blessed Edward Alcorn Catholic College is asking for help, whether it be monetary or voluntary, in turning an ex-caretaker's bungalow into a new learning space for anxious and vulnerable students. The bungalow sits next to the school and has been empty since June 2023. Greg McClary, head teacher at Blessed Edward, said, "We could have sold off the building or rented it out, but then it would not be a resource available for our students, and we can see its potential for the most vulnerable. At the moment, we have one room on the far side of the school, which capacity-wise is okay, but on the education side, we are struggling. We want to use the bungalow as a bridge for our anxious and most vulnerable students, as well as offering parental support." School leaders admitted that it is a tough task and is unlikely to be ready for the start of next year in September, estimating the total cost to be around £100,000. Kay Mason, assistant head teacher, said, "We're going to publish the fundraising page today and have already had four parents and two businesses reach out. WHC Hire Services from down the road has offered to lend us tools. A parent has donated £50 and another is willing to get involved as part of a one-day release programme from work to help in the community. The building needs all new carpets, work done to the ceiling, fire doors, alarms, among other things, as well as making it pass health and safety checks. Work has already begun with the school site manager working on the kitchen with funds already raised by the school. Fences for the garden have been purchased, but the school is still looking for help installing them. If you think you can help, please email fundraising@blessededward.co.uk. Mr. McClary said, "Worcestershire schools are historically underfunded. If we were a similar school in Birmingham, we would have an extra £1 million of funding. With rising costs, there are posts available in the school that we're not recruiting for. Support staff leave and we can't afford to replace them. The impact this bungalow will have is massive, not just academically, but for students' emotional well-being as well. Traditional school is not for everyone. Some students will leave with no GCSEs, but this will allow them to leave with other skills, such as cooking, cleaning and gardening. The bungalow consists of four rooms, a kitchen, a toilet and a back garden."
A city centre pub has decided to stop showing live music on weekends after being affected by the cost of living crisis. The sociable beer company will still have music on a Friday, but it will no longer offer it on Saturdays and Sundays. The pub came to Worcester 7 years ago and had live music right from the very beginning, but says now it is suffering from a lack of footfall at some of the gigs. Keith Duddy, owner of the Sociable Beer Company, said, "We have had live music on a Friday for the past 7 years, and it was very successful. So in the last couple of years, we expanded to Saturdays and Sundays. We believe in paying musicians for what they do, and so we had a budget of £2,000 per month. The gigs are always free to attend. However, there has not been enough footfall to support the bands. We know that it is expensive for people to go out one or more days a week, but we hope that more people will come out on a Friday to watch the live bands instead of splitting people between the 3 days. The change will start from the beginning of May. However, the pub will still host open mics on the first Sunday of every month." Mr. Duddy continued, "It's symptomatic of the industry. We are by no means unique. We are running at about average, which is around 10% down, and so something had to go. Larger chains may be able to make it work, but unfortunately for us independents, it is a different story. If things pick up, if we have some nice weather in summer, then we will hopefully bring some back. It's a tough time to be in the hospitality industry, with the bar industry being down 11% year on year, being particularly bad in April, down 22%. Mr. Duddy said, "We are a smallish venue, but not that small. We are somewhere in between Mars Bar and Paradiddles. However, the idea of 3 days of live music in the present economic climate is not justifiable. Since COVID, the industry has slowed down, but the real killer has been the cost of living crisis. It's unfortunate because music and beer go together like ant and deck, a classic combination."
Ambulances take twice as long to reach potential heart attack and stroke victims in Worcestershire as they should, figures show. One patient was left waiting more than 11 and a half hours for an ambulance to show up. The ambulance service says lengthy handover times at hospitals are having a direct impact on its ability to get to patients quickly. The average response time for a Category 2 emergency call in Worcestershire is 37 minutes and 38 seconds, more than twice the 18-minute NHS target. That's according to data obtained by the Liberal Democrats via Freedom of Information requests to all 10 ambulance trusts in England. Data from West Midlands Ambulance Service, WMAS, also shows a failure to meet the target for Category 1 calls, which are people with life-threatening illnesses or injuries and should be responded to within 7 minutes. The figures show an average response time for Herefordshire and Worcestershire ICS area of 10 minutes and 36 seconds. One Category 1 patient had to wait an hour and 27 minutes, while the longest wait endured by a Category 2 patient was 11 hours and 35 minutes. A WMAS spokeswoman said, "We rely on each part of the health and social care system working together so that our ambulances can get to patients in the community quickly. If our crews are left caring for patients outside hospital, they are not available to respond to the next call as quickly as we would all want. There is a direct correlation between hospital handover delays and our ability to get to patients in the community quickly. Disappointingly, due to handover delays, our performance is not where we would want it to be. Unfortunately, these delays impact the care we are able to provide to patients, but it also affects our staff, who often miss meal breaks and regularly finish late, which can have a significant bearing on their home life. We saw an improvement in hospital handover delays in February and March, which at the same time led to a significant response in our Category 2 performance. WMAS said it had the fastest call answering in the country and continues to work with all of its NHS and social care partners to look at new ways to improve response times. Lib Dem health spokesperson Daisy Cooper MP said, "Under the Conservative Party, the health service has faced unforgivable neglect and it is patients who are bearing the brunt. We urgently need investment in our ambulance services. For too long, staff have not been given the resources they need and patients have been left to suffer unnecessarily."
And now for some sporting items. And the starting off with the football, Worcester City ended the season as Centurions after they saw off Pershore Town in a 4-1 victory and lift the Hellenic Football League Premier Division title. City had been wrapped up for the league title, the team's first for 45 years, when they faced local rivals Town on the final day of the regular league season. Chris Corn's side went into the match knowing only a win would be enough for them to surpass the 100-point mark and end the campaign as Centurions. City dominated possession early on in the match and almost found the breakthrough when Elliot Hartley played in Kyle Belmont, only for his shot to be cleared off the line. Jamie Insull's volley and Calvin Dinsley's header were City's best other remaining chances of the first half, but both sides went into half-time still level. Just 7 minutes into the second half, City grabbed the lead when Dinsley cut the ball back to Belmont, who executed a low shot past the keeper. Then, just 10 seconds later, City doubled their lead through a bizarre goal when the ball deflected off Belmont and caught townskeeper Josh Reed-Jones off his line. But just as City were cruising, Pershore pulled a goal back with 20 minutes remaining through striker Dylan Parker. With a nervy ending in sight, Keon Evans ceased his city's worries when he smashed a left-footed shot into the bottom corner of the net to restore their two-goal lead. The visitors virtually secured all 3 points just a minute later when Dylan Hart was played through and slotted the ball past the keeper to make it 4. The victory sealed, City ended the campaign as Centurions as they finished on 101 points from the 38-game season. The team finally got their hands on the Hellenic Football League trophy, with City's players and staff celebrating their league title in a post-match presentation. Speaking to WCFC TV after the match, City's Morgan manager, Chris Corn, said, "It's been a long old slog, 48 games in the league and everything else makes 60 games in total with the cup final. I'm as proud as punch of everyone involved, the boys themselves, the subs, the lads who've been on loan, the fans, everyone that travels here, there and everywhere to do their bit. There's not enough words to give thanks to everyone, but to see that when we lifted the trophy was amazing, and I don't think it happens like that anywhere else at our level." Talking about the match itself, he added, "I needed and I wanted to get over that 100-point barrier, and we succeeded today. It's something we can leave behind now, and it's testament to how hard the boys have worked week in and week out." This week, City are in the final of the Marsh Challenge Cup. And there are numerous photographs surrounding the article of extremely happy football players lifting a very large, heavy-looking trophy, but all jubilant at their victory.
And now for an article on archery. A young Worcester archer has impressed on the European stage, finishing second in the under-21s category, despite being amongst the youngest in her age category. Emilia Hughes, 18, finished as the runner-up at the European Youth Cup in Sofia, Bulgaria, narrowly missing out on the top step. Hughes, a former Royal Grammar School student, was selected for the competition in January, shooting at the longer distance of 70 metres. Hughes started archery in 2017, honing her skills initially with the Droitwich Archers, before ascending to Archery GP's Pathway Academy. In her brief career, she has won numerous national titles in her age group and represented Great Britain on 4 occasions at the under 18 level. Hughes, who outside of archery is an engineering apprentice at Yamazaki Mazak, not only had to compete at the longer distance, but also had to deal with severe weather fluctuations as temperature fluctuated from 31 degrees to 10 degrees. After finishing second, Hughes is now looking ahead to her next international event in Slovenia next month, followed by the European Youth Championships in Romania in July.
Worcester City women's football first team have not only won the WFA County Cup, but also inter-club bragging rights as it beat its development team 7-0. Goals from Leah Ritson and Olivia Mitchum double, Jess Fasnage, Holly Rogers, Holly Congrave and Annie Syme saw the first team run riot at Clanes Lane. The match was action-packed from the start. The first team were fast out of the blocks as Laura Davis and Syme partnered up in midfield to send Ritson racing down the left wing, who hit a tremendous strike that saw the ball deflect into the net off the right post. Despite the fast pace set by the first team, the development team did not hold back early, threatening with a counter-attack led by Elspeth Hill that would be expertly denied by goalkeeper Sophia Stolt. In the 19th minute, Mitchum was first to react to a scramble in the box, nodding home to double the first team's lead. She assisted the side's third a few minutes later, weaving the ball to Fasnage to tap in. By the first half's end, Mitchum had another of her own, battling through the Devs' defence to score. The Devs were first to wake up following the interval, However, they were unable to stop Holly Rogers from slotting the ball past goalkeeper Leah Carter in the 50th minute. Congreve, having assisted Mitchum earlier, claimed a stunning goal of her own soon after, finding the top corner from a long-range effort. Despite several attempts at a comeback, the Devs could not break down the first strong defence. Sophie Griffiths from the first team had a near miss, but the relentless pressure led to Syme scoring the last goal of the game in the 85th minute, working her way through to score into an empty net for the final goal of the game. The first's triumph will undoubtedly boost morale as they head into the final countdown of the West Midlands Regional Women's Football League. The squad's final clash of the season will come in a few weeks' time when Shifnal visit Clanes Lane on Sunday, May the 19th.
And that is the end of our contribution for this week on the news. Thank you very much for listening. And remember, the obituaries will follow the music. So it just takes us to say goodbye and keep safe. And until next time, thank you. Bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
And now for the obituaries. Guy William Clements, formerly of Bromsgrove, Droitwich and Malvern, Fernhill Heath, passed away peacefully on Friday, March the 29th. His funeral services at the Vale Crematorium, Fladbury, on Tuesday, May the 7th at 11 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, are invited for Parkinson's UK. May be sent to E. Hill and Sons, Pershore. And then his wife, Antoinette Clements, known as Dolly or Anne, née Pardo, passed away peacefully on Tuesday, April the 2nd, reunited with Guy after such a short time apart. Her funeral service is at the same time, Tuesday the 7th of May at 11 o'clock at Fladbury, and the same instruction for the flowers, no flowers, and Parkinson's donation. Marcia Dawn Parry, born 1945, sadly passed away on the 2nd of April. Private cremation has already taken place, and thanks to the NHS and St Richard's Hospice. Susan Hurdis, known as Sue, suddenly passed away on Wednesday the 10th of April. Funeral service to take place at Worcester Crematorium on Wednesday the 8th of May at 11:30. Family flowers only, please, and donations, if desired, to St Richard's Hospice or the Air Ambulance via George Crump and Son. Walter Norman Smith suddenly passed away on Thursday, 11th of April. A funeral service will be held on the 10th of May, Friday the 10th of May, 1:45 at Worcester Crematorium. Family flowers only, thank you. Donations, if desired, for Midlands Air Ambulance. Donations can be left in the collection box or to the funeral directors, Jackson Family Funeral Directors, Worcester. Maurice Holloway passed away peacefully at his home on the 17th of April. His funeral service will be at the Old St Martin's Church in the Corn Market, Worcester, on Friday the 17th of May at 12 noon. Family flowers only, donations if desired for Dementia UK may be left at the service or given to the family. Mervyn Postens passed away on Thursday the 18th of April. His funeral service is to take place at Worcester Crematorium on Thursday the 9th of May at 10:45. Any inquiries to Co-op Funeral Care, Worcester. And finally, Christine Ratcliffe passed away on the 21st of April. Her funeral service will be at Worcester Crematorium on Tuesday the 7th of May at 1:45. Family flowers only, but donations, if desired, for Stanfield Nursing Home may be left on the collection plate or at the crematorium or to E.J. Gummery and Sons, Worcester. And we send our best wishes to all the family and friends of the recently departed at this very difficult time.
Useful telephone numbers. To contact fire, police or ambulance in an emergency, 999 or 112.
The Domestic Abuse Helpline is 0800 980 3331.
For emergency social care calls to Worcestershire County Council, ring 01905 768 020. And for non-urgent calls to the County Council, ring 01905 765 765.
To contact the Electricity National Grid in emergency, dial 105. In the event of a power cut, ring 0800 917 7953. There is a priority service available for which you can register free of charge. For that service, dial 0800 032 8302.
Worcester Talking News here in Wilds Lane is 01905 767766. Listeners should be aware that this is not manned daily and you may get an answering service. Please be patient if a reply is required.
For non-urgent calls to the fire prevention team and for fire safety concerns in general, ring 0800 032 1155.
For non-urgent calls to the police, ring 101.
For scams and nuisance phone calls, dial 1572, listen to the instruction, press 1, and listen again. Press 1 again to delete that number so they won't trouble you again.
Crime Stoppers is a charity allowing people to report crime information anonymously. Their number is 0800 555 Treble 1.
To contact NHS Direct, ring 111.
Samaritans 116 123, a free phone number.
Citizens Advice is 0808 278 7891.
Age UK, Worcester 724 294.
Worcester Live, that's for the Swan Theatre and the Huntingdon Hall box office. The number is 01905 611 427.
The box office at Malvern Theatres is 01684 892277.
Norbury Theatre box office is 01905 770154.
Number 8 Theatre in Pershore, 01386 555-488.
For Sense Adventures, that's walking for the visually impaired, ring D. Jones on 07920 144 614 or use their website, which is, all small case, www.senseadventures.co.uk. Worcester Wheels number for transport is 01905 450 654 and they're available from 8:30 in the morning till 4:30 in the afternoon. Link Nurseries at Powick have a gardening session for the visually impaired on Friday mornings. And for more information, phone 01905 831 881.